What's up? Episode 9. Not a very happy episode. You're a Quakes fan. It's been a difficult fucking summer. Hopefully your personal life has been going better than your soccer life, because this team fucking sucks. This team has not been doing well. Damn. I mean, what can you do? The Quincy magic has run out, and apparently there was a lifespan to that. Shea Salinas isn't gonna become a motherfucking world beater all of a sudden. MPG is good when he's good, but they can't seem to jive with the rest of the team. Wando's scoring goals. Wando's doing what he can, but man, it's pretty fucking. It's hard times. Hard times in San Jose, man. Hard fucking times. Let's see, what do they got? Man, Dallas. They lost to Dallas at home, and Dallas can win on the road. They've won on the road before. MLS, it's really hard to win on the road, but Dallas. Fuck, dude. Fuck. 20th. Fucking 20th out of 20 in salary, and they're the best team in the fucking league. I mean, what is it? Envy or jealousy? Whatever the fuck. Both of them. Fuck it. Both of them. Ah, shit, dude. San Jose's a big ass. A million fucking people. The 10th biggest city in the country, man. It's not a fucking little fucking country town. But anyway, they lost 1-0. The fucking bicycle kick, man. That was a fucking goal. That was a goal. Respect. Again, as much as it hurts, that was a fucking golazo, Holmes. Golazo. I mean, it wasn't a full fucking bicycle kick, like, what would it be, 180 degrees towards the pitch. It was kind of a sideways one, a little 45 degree one, but it was still impressive. It was a fucking, that was a great goal. Golazo again. Had to be goal of the week. Unfortunately, it was against the Quakes, and unfortunately, dude, what is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games. 7 fucking games without a win. The last win was on my birthday. Yeah, see, I mean, I don't want to say anything, but it was on my birthday. It was against Houston. I mean, Houston's coming up on the 31st, so come on, Houston. Yeah, last win was May 11th. May 11th. It is July 14th right now. July 14th. The last time the Earthquakes won a game was May 11th. I am sitting here recording this on July 14th. I don't know. Anyway. But There is a future. There is light beyond the horizon. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. Whatever the fuck metaphor you want to say, I've said it before. It takes patience. I don't think this front office is the front office that's going to lead this team back to greatness. But at the moment, the team is moving forward. It is building its academy and all that. It is years behind a lot of and most teams in MLS, but it's doing it. Not to say that they're doing a great job. I mean, definitely it could be done differently, but it is getting there, even, you know, at the moment. God, the team's fucking. The the Dragons, man. The Dragons, I cover them just as well as the Quakes. And for anyone unfamiliar with the Burlingame Dragons, that's the San Jose Earthquakes under 23 squad. The league's called the Premier Development League. It's the highest rated amateur. It's the fourth division, essentially. If you were to rank the divisions in American soccer, it's the fourth division. It's right before all the professional or the three professional leagues, and it's badass. It's really high level soccer, and they're already, you know, again, that's part of that the Earthquakes umbrella, I guess, you know, that's being built. So and there's some impressive players out there, and you never know, you know, we'll see how they develop. And I was there, how was it? July 10th, I was there. It was their last home game. They played the Las Vegas Mobsters. What's up, Mobsters? That's what you choose to glorify your town, the Vegas Mobsters. That's cool. Again, I like it. But that's interesting. So, the Mobsters came in and got mopped, and they didn't do any mop stream, but they got mopped. It was 4-0, and it was just, that was the third game I had gone to, and what is it, four? I've seen 11 goals in three games that I've been there. There's been 11 goals, and you know, the Quakes have had a problem scoring, and it's good to see that there's some, you know, people down the line. They you could really tell they're focusing on speed, on you know, on, well, not necessarily poachers, because I mean these goals are fucking, they're sweet. These are fucking sweet goals. I mean there's some good passing, good setting up, but again these are 20, 21 year olds, so it's gonna be a couple years. You know, this fundamental change to the tactics of the team are coming, but in a couple, I mean, I get it. Yeah, in a couple years, and nah, it's okay. We gotta protest. We gotta do protests are the fucking are the cool thing right now. We got a protest right there. What did they call it? Earthquakes Way now. Right by the big logo, right by the front entrance. We got a fucking protest. No, man. Anyway. I'm sorry. Always try to get fucking political. No, but watching these players for the last, you know, for these three home games, it was awesome. And this last game, I finally gathered up the courage to you know, ask some questions, and I mean, I guess let me just fucking first person up here is Jamil Cox, who's one of the forwards. I call them the Smash Brothers. Yeah, Jamil Cox and Daniel Masovsky, and these dudes, again, they're really young forwards. They're really fast, and they have different styles, but they both are fucking finishers, man. They both can put the ball in the net, and it's fun watching them go. And Jamil Cox actually, you know, he has interesting reason why he's so quick. But anyway, I'm gonna play these. And, you know, just listen.
Just got into the playoffs, you know. You know, the games have been easy coming lately, you know. How do you stay mentally prepared for the playoffs when, like, it just goes up a level, you know?
Yeah, I mean, everybody feels the pressure when we have to get points to advance. But we're at home, and I think it makes us a little bit more comfortable. Yeah. And when we start getting on teams early, I think we just get more confidence throughout the game.
No, yeah, this was a big scoreline. But were you part of the scrimmage either with Mexico or Argentina?
Yeah, I was in the scrimmage with Argentina.
How was that? Like, was that more of just of a life experience, or did you actually gain like some soccer knowledge out of it?
Both. But yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable playing with those guys, and I actually scored the goal to beat them 1-0. So yeah. I mean, it's an unbelievable feeling. You learn like everything from them in person. Like, you learn more in person than you do watching them on TV. So it's a great experience.
Yeah, and then you coming up again. This is it's an affiliate of the Earthquakes and all that. The soccer pyramid is barely building in this country.
Yeah,
you know, and but. Have you noticed any different, or, you know, is there, do you see kind of a light at the end of the tunnel now, you know?
Yeah.
Is
it, I mean, I think everybody does. I think everybody knows that they're affiliated with us, and that means we got the best players, because everybody wants to play in the MLS. That's everybody's dream, so
yeah,
we get everybody's best, and we know that there's an opportunity above this.
So, yeah, again, I was telling Mark here earlier that there's a stat 37% of people that play PDL go up, you know, or... You know, go play MLS, so it's pretty high level. But and then the rivalry the with the San Francisco, obviously it's gonna build, you know.
Yeah.
It's anything. I know that was their first year, right? This year.
Yes.
Did it feel any different?
Nah, it didn't. I think when we start playing them more, I think it'll build. But
when
think,
they score a couple goals, when they win a game.
Yeah, when they good thing we're 2-0 against them, so. I think we know there's a rivalry, but we just got to focus on our playoffs and our goals.
And then do you play college ball after this, or what are you doing?
No, I actually play indoor, professional indoor in the MSL for the Tacoma Stars.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So is that where you're from?
Yeah, I'm from Tacoma.
So you come down for the summer to play
Yeah, I come down here and then play for the summer, and then I go back home and play indoor.
How does that translate? How does it, you know, when, because this is obviously a bigger pitch, you know, and
I mean, it's not that much different, but it's a lot faster in indoor, and but same run, same communication.
Dude, when I see where some of your speed comes from, dude, you're like a gazelle out there. So okay, so, and then how does that season? When does it run?
That's in the winter, so it's like October to like February, so it's the off season of PDL.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So it works perfect. Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I'll let you go. I got a couple of questions. But again, thanks for doing
this. I appreciate it.
Could you fucking tell how nervous I was? I'm still fucking nervous doing this show by myself. I'm sitting right here by myself in my office with my fucking computer right in front of me. And I'm still nervous. And I had to fucking talk to people. But anyway, you're going to see some of these players playing on Saturdays. I'm telling you, it's so cool. You know, $10 you could go see that. And then they gave away pizza. Was it Blue Line? I think it was called Blue Line Pizza. They had, if you follow me at Baldini10 on Twitter, you can see the picture. They had fucking, I don't know, easily 100 boxes of pizza. I don't even know how you fucking make it. Whoever worked that shift, props to you. But yeah, I was nervous as fuck. And but then, you know, he was really cool. And but yeah, but he plays indoor, man. He plays professional indoor in the off season, and you gotta see that dude's fucking fast. And there's a lot of people that are fast, but they have no finishing, or they have no passing. You know, they can't put it right there in the box where it needs to. They're just fucking fast. Then they get to the other side of the pitch, and then they got nothing. You know, they got nothing. And that's the exciting thing about Jamail. There is he's a fucking finisher. He can finish. And also, like, I don't know, I call them the Smash Brothers. I fucking, these two starting forwards, of the dragons. They're just a two-headed beast, you know? Two-headed dragon. I gotta look that up. There's gotta be some fucking famous two-headed dragon in fucking, like, some kind of, what the fuck is the, Norse. Ah, shit, there we go. In some kind of Norse myths or something. And I'm sure everybody's got dragons in their myths. There's gotta be a two-headed dragon. For now, they're the fucking Smash Brothers. Fucking Jamel Cox and Daniel Masofsky are the fucking Smash Brothers, and they score a lot of fucking goals. So I also interviewed, got a chance, you know, to talk to Daniel Masofsky, asked him pretty much the same questions. I'm just as fucking nervous, but here's that fucking interview.
So we're here with Daniel Masofsky. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but. Yeah, again, the second half of the Smash Brother, dude. You and Jamel are the fucking Smash Brothers. So you guys just made it into the playoffs, and how did I ask you? The first thing I asked Jamel, how do you stay motivated? There's still three games left, you know. How do you not, you know, get into a little funk before the playoffs? Right.
Well, I think our motivation was just to, you know, get into playoffs. We knew we had to win these last couple home games to get in. So Coach Boucher has really been pushing on us to stay focused and stay motivated, and I think that's, you know, rubbed off on all of us to get wins.
And did you have a chance to play any of the scrimmages either against Mexico or Argentina?
I was actually scrimmaging on Argentina's team against.
Oh,
the
really?
Dragons. Yeah.
They turned you.
Yeah.
Well, and when what was that like a life experience, or did you actually gain a soccer knowledge out of that?
I think both. You know, it was a crazy life experience just because of the fact that Messi and Aguero are right there, and I was actually passing them the ball.
Yeah.
So that was a life experience. And then soccer, I think I learned a lot just from their movement, their mentality and practice, and just how professional all of them were.
And did they take it easy on you?
No.
You know, or they were like, nah, dude, you're on our team. We're going to win.
Yeah, yeah. They were not taking it easy. That was one thing I was expecting them, thinking they would take it easy, but they didn't at all. Just 100% every single practice, I feel like that's how they go.
Oh, that's really cool. And and playing for the Dragons, this is something, again, it's still kind of a young team, young league, PDL still forming. But with your affiliation with the San Jose Earthquakes, it's starting to get kind of like people say, oh, it's corporate soccer,
Right.
Like, and how do you, is that going into the game, do you have a chip on your shoulder, or is it more of like a, dude, well, sorry, we're organized.
Right.
You
know? Nah, I mean, I think we're just going out there. We're just a bunch of group of guys. I mean, basically everybody on our team are all leaders of our college team, so we all just, you know, expect a lot out of each other, and we're just a bunch of group of guys put together to play on a field and produce results. So I think that's what we do.
Great answer. And anyway, speaking of that, what do you do in the off season? What's your college?
I go to UNLV.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I play there. I was actually playing for the Mobsters last year. So
oh, really?
It was kind of weird to play this game. A lot of my teammates are out there.
Yeah. And that's all you do, so you go from UNLV to here?
Yeah. This is actually, my first year playing here, so, I just came from UNLV just now.
Oh, hell yeah. And pool of play, when going from PDL to college, is there a difference? Can you notice it?
Yeah, I think it depends on what team you play. So, for example, if you're playing Fresno Fuego, they play really fast, so that team, you know, they have a faster style of play. If you play against the Mobsters, it's different because a lot of those guys are Division II players, so it's kind of, they have a chip on their shoulder playing against us because they're D2 players playing up against Division I players.
Okay.
But then you play other teams that have a lot of Division I players, so it kind of depends on what team you play against.
Oh, that's cool. And like, have you seen, I mean, I know you're still young into the soccer pyramid, because the American soccer pyramid is still building.
Right.
But do you see it being more concrete? Like, do you see more opportunities for younger players? How are you noticed from the inside, you know?
Yeah. I think there are. I mean, I think PDL offers great opportunities for young college kids to do over the summer. Because instead, before, you know, you have the college season that lasts 3 months, and then you're doing nothing for the rest of the year, basically. So this gives college season something to do and get recognized and exposure during the summer.
But the goal's ultimately MLS, right?
Exactly.
Or any professional league, I guess. You know?
Yeah, I mean, everyone has different expectations.
Calls, you know? Yeah,
right.
Hey,
mine's MLS. You know, I hope to have a good college season and see where it goes from there.
Yeah, well, I mean, good luck. I won't take any more of your time. And, you know, thanks for talking to me.
I appreciate it.
Again,
imagine fucking playing Messi as your teammate. That's so fucking badass, man. I don't know. I just thinking about it, even if I'm just playing, you know, like at, you know, just a pickup game at, you know, just in a backyard or something, just kicking the ball around. But if it was fucking Messi that you were kicking it around with, holy shit. I wouldn't even know what to do. So yeah, that was fucking goddamn. Just hearing the story is a story for me. I could only imagine what it was like to be on that pitch. And I'm glad that, you know, it happened to these guys. These seem like great guys. And again, that they're part of the Quakes family. You know, for the time being, they're here in that fucking umbrella. And hopefully, you know, eventually they make their way up. But yeah, so again, as you can still tell, you can hear from my voice, the nerves, man. That was my shirt. It sounded like wind. But I also had a chance to talk to Khalid Aramdami, and this dude, he's super sub extraordinaire. I don't even know how to explain it. If there was a super sub, this is the super sub. He comes in wearing number 10 and just changes the whole fucking rhythm of the game. Man, he's pressing forward. He has possession. He knows how to dance around people. He can shoot and he can pass. That's the big thing. He's not always trying to score the goal. If he sees a fucking outlet, he'll pass it, trying to make it better. In this game against the Mobsters, he had a sick ass goal. It was a little flick. The ball bounced up going towards the Mobsters goal. The keeper comes out and it bounces about a yard in front of the keeper. It's Aramdami and the keeper. So Aramdami just fucking flicks it. He fucking flicks it right over the keeper. Again, right outside the 18. Whoop, boom. Nothing but net right into the back of the goal. Dude, it was, again, it was a straight up Steph Curry 3-point swish shot on the pitch, if you've ever seen one, man. It was insane. And again, so again, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to keep saying it. For $10, you can see this. And I'm telling you, you're going to see some of these players in MLS. There's no way that some of these guys are not going to go up. The talent is just that high. But anyway, here's my interview with Aramdami.
This is my third home game. I saw you when you came in against BYU, and you immediately made an impact. Like, this dude's fast. But so have you always been a 10? That's always been your position? You're not a goalie, a defender?
I actually started off as a goalie and a center back. And then one time, there's a corner kick, and I cleared it, and I took it all the way with speed, and the coach was like, wait. That was good. You should try playing wing or forward. And then I tried it next game and I scored a few goals, and that's just been my position since then.
Yeah. And where did you grow up? Was it?
I was born in Morocco.
Oh, okay.
I came here when I was 10.
Okay, but you started soccer here, yeah. And so where in the United States did you?
Here in the Bay Area.
Oh,
in,
shit,
in
really? California. Oh, damn. All right. Yeah. And what do you do in the off season when you're not Dragons? How do you? I was talking to some guys played in the, you know, from Kaiser College. Some guys play indoor. Do you do any other leagues?
I play on the weekends sometimes with teams, and I play indoor. Definitely play indoor every week at spot in Road City called Spot's House.
Okay. And were you involved in any of the scrimmages with either Mexico or Argentina?
Yes, I was involved in the Argentina one. I had a chance, didn't put away, but Against Mexico, we lost 2-1, and I was the one that scored the goal.
Oh, hell yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you what I asked Jamil and Daniel. Was it more of a life experience, or did you also gain actual soccer knowledge from those experiences?
It was actually both. It was lifetime experience. The same thing, you know, yeah. Meeting one of the best players in the world and meeting Messi and seeing their first touch, their finishing. And, you know, I was a little nervous when I got on the field, but, you know, I just played through it and just played my game.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, I definitely learned a lot of things and got a good experience. You know, spent a day with pros.
Yeah, got to. And again, did they take it easy on you, or did they treat you like a teammate or an opponent? Yeah.
They treated me like an opponent, and they didn't really take it easy because they were focusing on their big game. So.
Yeah, I mean, they were here for a major tournament. That's what really helped, you know.
At the end of the day, they thanked us for helping them out.
Yeah. And then what's the goal for you in the future? Is it also MLS or, again, whatever league comes calling?
USL, MLS, whatever comes calling. Yeah. That's what I'm chasing, the pro life.
Hell yeah, no, I'm excited. And again, hopefully I can follow you guys' story. That's why I came out. You know, I've been to a couple home games, but
thank you.
Told Jordan, Mike, I got the balls. I think, give me a press pass. I want to talk to some of these dudes. And how do you stay focused? Again, you guys already clinched a playoff spot. We got like 2 or 3 more games until that. How do you, you know, stay in rhythm? How do you, you know, keep that momentum going?
We just keep working hard as a group, you know, and we take each game at a time. We don't really think about like what we have ahead of us, you know. We just take one game at a time and just try to get the job done every weekend we play.
Yeah, hell yeah. All right.
Yeah, you like my basic ass questions? I assure you my questions will get better as the episodes go on. I can't help but be nervous. I don't know though. I just want to talk about soccer and about the Quakes. But there's way more stories to be told. But yeah, so again, hopefully, you know, listening to those three guys, you could see that there's always something in the works, you know. I mean, it might not work as fast as we want it, but there's something there. But that doesn't mean that everything is going all right. This team fucking sucks right now. The San Jose Earthquakes fucking suck right now, and there's a lot of fucking dead money on the fucking team, and it's got to get shuffled around, you know, and it's not just the players, some of the front office also. It's just sometimes you even if it's a person that is running the team well, you just need to hear something different, you know. Just hearing the same voice over and over all the time just wears you down. Sometimes you just need some new blood to kind of reboot the system. Fucking Silicon Valley, dude. What the fuck? They should know this shit. Rocket right there. Apple's gonna move right next door, or whoever the fuck they want. You gotta reboot the system. So we can facilitate this. I mean, these players need to be put on the fast track. They need to get the coaches or the scouts need to find them. Need to make sure that they're getting the work in, and need to make sure that eventually they come up and they're playing on Saturday and they're contributing to the team. And it comes, you know, you're not just going to be able to draft or buy talent every single fucking time. You're going to have to, you know, create some talent from your fucking academies. And the Quakes are there, but we have to push the team to, you know, to focus more on that. And I mean, but they're doing a great job. I hope that this doesn't come down critical on the Dragons at all, because I fucking love that. I mean, if you want to see a well-run team, it's fun. Those Dragon games are fun. A lot of families, you know. We need some fucking more regular fucking folk out there, man. There's a lot of families. They're welcoming. and you could go right across the street to a little market and get some fucking good ass mozzarella from Berkeley. Holy shit. It comes in the fucking liquid way. Oh my God. I can't even name it. It's some fucking one fancy ass French name. It's made in fucking Berkeley. Why you gotta have a French ass name? You're fucking Berkeley, dude. But anyway, it's some good ass mozzarella. But the team's not right. The team's not right right now. And honestly, one big name, one piece is not going to solve anything. Yeah, it might bring some excitement or anything, but the point is to have a 11 people on the pitch that all are working towards the same goal. And I'm not even no pun or anything right there. It's just what it is. Usually I would try to fucking make some stupid joke, but nah. We need all 11 people. We need all 11 people to be working towards the end. And right now, it's just not working. It's not working. It worked for a bit. There was a bit of luck. There was a bit of little Buckshaw magic, you know, but it's just not working anymore. And the league is moving way too fucking fast. Way too fast for the Quakes to be sitting on their hands like this. It's just, again, the only thing I could think of is us as fans is instead of, you know, complaining is okay, but the outlets, you got to call the team, send emails to Caval or anybody, you know. But just complaining amongst yourselves, no, it won't work. But yeah, the front office knows that people are upset, but again, there's no pressure. There's no fucking pressure on them to really do anything. Who's questioning him? Caval knows he's fucking up, but what's he gonna do? Kawakami's not knocking at his door. You know, fucking nobody is gonna fucking is calling them out on anything they do. You know, these fucking Ray Rattos of the world and all that will show up for the a big game against Galaxy, or again, if they watch when they play New York on August 5th, when they play New York on August 5th, I can bet you motherfucking who, and Killian, Ray Ratto, Kawakami, all them motherfuckers are going to be there in the fucking press box for that fucking game. They don't care. They don't fucking care. They have no fucking clue about what the team is really doing. Every once in a while, they'll look over at the standings and look over at any big news just to fucking scoff. Ugh. You know? But they're never gonna call Caval out. Again, something egregious happens. You know, one of the players fucking drives a Ferrari through a building. Okay, maybe they'll ask some tough questions, but nobody's going up there and saying how are you filling an 18,000 seat stadium and you got a $6 million a year player fucking driving a supercar out there in Switzerland. What the fuck? What the fuck? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? What if Buster Posey was out in fucking Hawaii just chilling, driving around in a fucking Dodge Viper, all fucking souped up, all badass, in the middle of the Giant season? What the fuck? What the fuck? What would the media be saying? What the fuck would the media be saying at that point? And that's essentially what's going on here with Innocent and crickets. Nobody's saying shit because they don't give a fuck. The media doesn't give a fuck about soccer. Therefore, the front office gets away with whatever the fuck they want. But again, us as fans, You just gotta unite. You gotta come up with one solid voice and say, hey, enough is enough. We're not just a fucking ATM account, you know. ATM account. We're not just a fucking debit account. We don't just throw this money in there so you can pull it out whenever you need. We demand wins. We demand championships, you know. And I believe it'll happen. Fucking Buckshaw was so tiny. It was so fucking small. You really couldn't build. It did have the people that showed up. It was badass. It was a great environment. It was super intimate. But ultimately, you had to really love the team. And you could find 10,000 people that really loved the team. And it was always fucking packed. But if you were going to build an identity in the Bay Area, you need something better. A refurbished college stadium with fucking tents as team stores was not going to fucking cut it. So Avaya is awesome. Avaya is great. It is beautiful, but it's only its second year. It's only its second year, and it was financed by the team. So it's the money's coming. But we have to, again, as fans, have to push that the money gets spent in the fucking in the right places. I'm not saying that, hey, call us whenever you're gonna draft a fucking player, but the fans that pay the money to support the team have to let their voices be heard. This is what we want. You can't just keep fucking dicking around and taking these chances on Innocent was playing with Azerbaijan or I don't know where was Innocent was playing in some Middle Eastern league before he came. Yeah, he was a decent player from Switzerland, but he wasn't this big well established fucking athlete. It was a risk. It was honestly a risk, and the Quakes went fucking all in, and they fucking failed. They failed miserably. You can't predict injuries, but I don't know about plenty of time, but there was a time when he was not injured, and this year it seems like he doesn't give a fuck about being injured or not. He seems to have absolutely zero interest to be part of this team. And this is, again, I think it's $4 million a year actually that they pay him, but it's several million dollars a year that he's getting paid. He makes literally as much as at least half of the team combined. It's really embarrassing. It's so embarrassing that that's just sitting there in some expensive ass $5,000 fucking seat at Avaya Stadium, and he doesn't contribute at all. We're halfway through the fucking season, man. We're halfway through the season. The fucking playoffs, I don't. There's no fucking point. Come on. There's no fucking point. Okay, yeah. Okay, they're 2 wins away from the fucking final playoff spot. Actually, yeah, it would put them in fifth, tied with Sporting. But let's get fucking real. Let's get real. That's fucking hope. That's being hopeful. That all of a sudden, this fucking team's gonna click. All of a sudden, Quincy's gonna find his fucking his groove again, and he's gonna find the back of the net. All of a sudden, Wando's gonna get that fucking that step that he's had these last year. You know. All of a sudden, MPG is gonna you know, be able to slow his rhythm down or not fall. I mean, he gets fouled. He's tiny. He doesn't take as many dives as it might seem. He's just small and gets thrown around. But, I mean, he all of a sudden he's not going to figure out how to play in MLS in such a physical league, how to stay up and help make that fucking that critical pass. It's not going to fucking happen. You know, all of a sudden, fucking Muma and Goodson aren't going to get younger and get better and be that fucking staunch defense, that wall that has been there the last several years. It's not going to fucking happen. Fuck. Wish all we want. It's just... And the fucking front office is just chilling. Just chilling. No, nobody's taking them to task on it. And why would they? Why would they? Oh man, I was talking to somebody earlier. So, dude, I was at the last game, and I was sitting there at the beer of the world section. Fucking pretty good beer selection. I don't care what anybody says. This is a damn for a stadium. It's a fucking damn good beer selection. But these fucking yahoos in front of me order there's three of them, and they order two Pacificos each, so six Pacificos, and then they get like a bag of peanuts and Dr. Pepper for you know some little kid that was with them, and it was fucking $84 fucking dollars for six 24 ounce Pacificos, a soda, and like again some peanuts or something. That's insane. That is in fucking insane. Why would you pay $12 for a fucking Pacifico tall boy when you could get like a hop stupid, a fucking same shit. $12, you get a 22 ounce, whatever, how you know, 20 ounce, I guess, hop stupid. I don't know, but that team makes money. That team is making money again. They don't have the money to spend now. Of course, you know, all the money they make per game, it's not like it goes into a fucking bank account that they spend the next week. But this team is starting to kind of right the ship. It's not rocking anymore, you know, but we have to be there. We have to be in their face and saying, hey, we are a part of this team. We love this team. And this is what we want out of this team. It's not going to be an instant thing. Damn, is that right? I'm like fucking Eminem right now, dude. I'm fucking 8 Mile in this shit. But whatever we do, yeah, it's not going to happen from 1 week to the next. They're not going to get one player and it's going to change the whole fucking thing. They're not going to make a change in formation and they're going to rock it up to third place. It's not going to happen. There needs to be a personnel change. There needs to be a roster change. And they need to fucking act like they're the goddamn San Jose Earthquakes that have two fucking MLS championships. They're not some fucking, you know, backwoods country team. They're one of the fucking original teams in MLS, and they have a really prestigious fucking history, and they need to start fucking acting like it. And again, I could yell about that for hours, but I'm not gonna. So, thanks for tuning in this week. The Quakes' next game is Saturday against Toronto. Well, that's gonna be fucking... You can't lose two home games in a row. Well, I mean, you can. But I don't want to be a witness to that. And if it happens, oh well. But yeah, the next game is July 16th versus Toronto. It should be a good one. They have good beer. Always makes the game a lot better. And also July 19th, July 19th, the Burning Game Dragons are playing in Fresno at Chuck Chancey Park, which is pretty well known. I'm going, and I'm excited. And I want to check out that stadium. It seems like a good minor league baseball stadium, so I'm excited to go see that. So yeah, July 16th, Quakes versus Toronto. The fuck, I'm not getting to know tactics or anything about that shit. At this point, it's fucking hold on and hope this, the ship doesn't sink with this wave. But on the good note, the 19th, Burlingame Dragons are out there in Fresno. I don't know who listens to this. I don't know if you have the ability, but 7 o'clock, come out and watch it. It's the PDL playoffs. This is the under 23 team of the Quakes. These are future players that are, a lot of them are going to be in MLS. And it's a real cool timeout, and I'm sure that they would enjoy the support. But yeah, anyway,